Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome back to Mum's the Word, the parenting podcast. I'm Kelsey Parker and I'm your host for this week. Oh, this week, what's happened? So, do you know what? Nothing dramatic has happened this week, but I just feel like I've learned that sometimes not raising your voice and being calm is the better option, because we were at a swimming pool and Aurelia didn't want to get out and go and get changed. So she got really angry and she hit me. Not hard, but obviously she just lashed out and hit me, and I just stayed so calm and I completely ignored her. And after that, she felt really, really bad and kept kissing and cuddling me. So sometimes getting angry is not the answer, even though they really do push us, these children of ours. Yeah, I learned that being patient and being calm and being quiet worked in that situation. So on the podcast this week, we have the gorgeous Chloe Lewis. Chloe became a household name when she appeared in the reality show TOWIE. These days, Chloe is a huge social media star and influencer with over 1 million followers on Instagram. She is a mum to the beautiful Beau, and it's great to have her on the show today. Welcome to the show, Chloe. Hi, Chloe.
Hi.
Welcome to the podcast.
I love this.
Do you love it?
Yeah.
So, for those that don't know, Chloe was in TOWIE. Tell me more about TOWIE. Like, how did you get onto TOWIE?
I got onto TOWIE because, well, it sort of is in our area, isn't it? So, I remember when I was really young and it sort of, the word was going about that it was starting, and I got approached like 4 times before it actually happened, and I had a good job at the time, so I was like, I don't actually know if it's for me. I don't really want to be in the public eye.
I've
never really
before?
Been that person. I was a fit model for fashion brands, so I'd done that for like 8 years, but it was such good money that
fit modeling is really well paid.
Really well paid. So, and I was young. Do you know what I mean? I was flying. I was like 17. I was
but
doing
back
so
to
well.
Fit modeling, it's actually quite hard, isn't it? Because you actually have to stay at the exact measurements.
Same. Yeah. Yeah, I never really dieted ever. I used to go gym and stuff. Yeah, they would like measure me and they'd be, oh, like, Chloe, you've gone up like 0.5 centimetre on your waist today. I'd be like, great.
I'm not eating before the next
one. I'm not eating. No, sometimes used to do slim fast, actually.
Really?
Yeah. I like them. I actually like them. I'd still eat.
Yeah.
But like, instead of having lunch, sometimes I'd do that instead just to, yeah, because it was my job. It's what I got paid to do.
So you were doing that, but you thought, they've asked me to do TOWIE. You don't know how you feel.
Yeah.
You didn't really want to be in the public eye.
No, it just was never for me. I'm quite quiet. I've come out my shell a little bit now. Yeah, I was quite quiet and, yeah, it was all a bit daunting for me, really. So at the time, the relationship that I was in was really rocky. So they approached him at the time and then they approached me, and I was like, I didn't really want him to go and do it without me. So I thought, I'm going to do it as well.
If he's doing it, I might as well do it.
Yeah, and then it just escalated from there, really. But yeah. I don't regret it.
No, how long was you on it for?
I did 5-6 years. Yeah, it's a long time.
Can't believe that you were on it for that amount of time.
I know.
Does it feel like you did it for that amount of time now?
Yeah, well, where I'm not in it anymore, but I'm still in the public eye sort of thing, it sort of feels like that's part of it, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? As in like...
Well, it's been your journey to be where you are now.
Yeah.
Like, if you wasn't in TOWIE, then you wouldn't be... where you are.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't, like you said, you've come out your shell. You are a different person now, probably, to when you first started TOWIE.
Yeah, listen, when I was on it, it was emotionally draining. I think I cried every scene.
Well, it's tough, isn't it? They're putting you in situations that aren't normal to be confronted by someone like...
And I think when I was in the relationship before I started TOWIE, a lot of people started the relationship within being in TOWIE. So because I had the normality of it, well, it wasn't that normal, but...
you thought was normal.
The normality of it before, and then going on a TV show and then seeing someone that you thought was this certain person, it was just honestly mind-blowing. It completely changed my outlook on the world.
Yeah, but do you feel like it has made you more confident then by doing
it? Yeah, 1,000,000%. I was really quiet and shy and, yeah, as a lot of people say, I was wrapped up in cotton wool as a child. So, yeah, I always wanted, like, the Disney movie life.
Don't we all, Chloe? So you did that and then you left TOWIE.
Left TOWIE, I fell pregnant and then decided that, no, it wasn't for me anymore. And
because other cast members do actually have their babies on the within the show, don't they?
I couldn't have done that. I didn't want Beau to be part of that world, if I'm honest. Be positive, Chloe, be positive. I know. When I come today, my sister was like, you've got to be positive. No, I was like, I'm going to be positive. I'm going to speak really highly of everything.
Yeah.
No, I just didn't.
It's not
I didn't,
about speaking highly of everything.
No.
It's obviously things you've got... You have had some trauma from doing certain situations and putting yourself in certain...
Yeah.
And they're triggering. So you're going to talk about triggering moments
that
weren't so positive in your life.
I don't know if I want that for Beau in his life. Not necessarily not to be famous, but to be like, I would rather him be mentally amazing and enjoy his life and not have any pressure with anyone looking in on what's going on or... wanting him to be a certain person or just things that I like experienced within being in TOWIE. So yeah, I just want more for him. So when I feel pregnant, you know what it's like. You become unselfish and you realise that this is what's important and you want to give them the best life that they can possibly have. So yeah, for me, stepping away from TOWIE was the right choice at that time.
So what did they say at TOWIE? Did they want you to leave?
Well, it was a little bit of a mutual decision, I think, because they called me into the office, which they do anyway, after every series that we had. And we had like chats and stuff. And I'm not one of those people that gets involved in other people's drama. One, it don't interest me. And two, I'm just not that person.
But you have sort of got to be that way inclined.
You've got to be thick skinned. And I am in certain ways, but in ways where people like are rude to me and stuff. No, I don't like that confrontation. They sort of called me in and said, you know, Chloe, we don't really know what your next thing's going to be. And I fully understood, but I knew I was pregnant. I wasn't going to tell them because I was early days, but I just knew in myself that
enough was enough.
And that chapter of my life was over.
But it's funny because I obviously, we have got mutual friends, but I never knew you when you was in TOWIE. But I remember watching you in TOWIE thinking,
God.
I feel so awkward for Chloe in them situations because you're not a confrontational person.
No.
So when the drama would come for you, you'd be a bit like, I don't really know what I'm going to say. And I could see it in your face thinking,
yeah,
I don't know what I'm going to say back to this person. Because
I'm not very good at arguing. I'm not very quick with my words. I'm not. I'd rather punch someone in the face, to be honest.
Should have just done that on a great
know.
TV. Was Chloe Lewis punching someone in the face again?
I know. I didn't like it. And not that a lot of people made out that they were your friends and they weren't. And then I caught people talking about me behind my back. And even at school, I never experienced anything like it. And good friends of mine, which I'm actually really good friends with now, they turned their back on me and things. And it literally broke my heart.
Because it's not a normal situation. Obviously, you're doing stuff for the TV. And to make a TV show,
of course.
So it's not real life because, you know, people do not go through this life and don't bitch because...
No, of course,
people
everyone does.
Do, but you're actually having it in your face, them bitching and you being like...
No, they weren't doing it in your face, but then you'd watch it back on the show.
Yeah, be like, I can't believe they're like this, slacking me off.
I can't believe she's trying it with my boyfriend or I can't believe like she's talking about me that way. It's just a different world because like you said, when you have a little bitching session with your friends or whatever else, no one hears about that.
Yeah.
No one, that person that you're speaking about, he's never going to hear about it. But when you're on TOWIE, it was just like...
You're seeing it, you're living it.
Yeah.
And then you're also seeing it in the
papers.
Some
of the girls
papers.
On there were absolutely ruthless. And they were the girls that went far with their career, I suppose.
Yeah, because you've sort of got to be ruthless.
Because you've got to be ruthless. Yeah.
So you fell pregnant with Beau.
Yeah.
You went and told them.
Yeah. That was it.
So how was you really early on?
Really
so
like, what, like six I fell pregnant in January. This was January. Yeah, so I knew I was pregnant.
How did you both feel when you was actually pregnant with Beau?
Well, no, it was the decision we made that we was going to have a baby. It wasn't a surprise.
Oh, okay. So you've been trying, right?
Yeah, we've been to the Maldives in the December. And then, yeah, it was either, I don't know why, we either got married or we decided to have a baby. At the time, we didn't really have the money to have like the big wedding that we wanted. And we also wanted to buy a house and things like that. So, yeah, baby was sort of...
I do think that we are become... It is that world now that you have to prioritise what you want.
Well, I just think when you love each other...
Why wouldn't you have a baby?
Signing a bit of paper and all the rest of it. Yeah, okay, it is.
Oh, my God, you sound like my mum. That's what she said. But it's like paperwork. It is
probably the right thing to do. Now, looking back, maybe I would have done things differently. Maybe I would have got married first. I would have liked that whole experience. What woman doesn't want to get married? Majority do. Do you know what I mean? Everyone wants to be a bride. But at the time, yeah, I was just madly in love and just... We just wanted
his baby.
Yeah, we just wanted to have a little baby human. Yeah. So that was just the next step. And I fell literally straight away, which surprised the light about me because it does, doesn't it? You just don't think you're going to fall that quickly.
And I think we know so much now. So like back when our mums were younger, they didn't know as much. There's so much information now. Then you're seeing people having to go down the IVF route and they've been trying for years. And I think there's so much pressure that you think, am I actually going to fall pregnant? Is this an easy thing?
Yeah.
But you know, when some of my friends have been like, oh yeah, we fell pregnant like the first time, I'm like, yeah, you do know that if you do have sex, you can have a baby. That is what happens.
I know, but you never think that it's going to happen for you as quick as it did, but it did. I literally tried in the January and fell at the end of January.
Yeah, so just incredible.
Yeah. Yeah, amazing.
And you were over the moon. Did you find out that you were having a boy?
No, it was a surprise. Yeah, because I fell with twins first, didn't I? So I found out I was pregnant in the January and then at the time I told Danny on his birthday, wrapped it all up for him, made it a big deal. Oh. So we knew he was pregnant. And then I think I went like 3 weeks or maybe a bit longer, I can't remember now. And I had heavy bleeding. One evening I just had heavy bleeding. And I obviously in myself, I just thought I've miscarried.
Yeah.
It wasn't a normal amount. Do you know what I mean? So Danny was trying to like make me feel better. And he was like, you know, it's fine. Like, it'll be fine. It might not even be the case. Let's just go and get things checked out, blah, blah, blah. So I booked a private scan, went in, and I took my sister at the time. She was 6 months pregnant because I thought, if anyone sees me, I haven't got to announce that I'm... Do you know what I mean? So I took Abby with me.
Yeah, you forget about this.
Well, it was in my local area. So I thought, if anyone sees me walk into this clinic, it literally is a scanning, it's for baby scans. So she took me into the clinic and then I actually know the lady because my sister's had loads of children. So I knew her from going there before. She was like, hi, Chloe, like lay on the bed, blah, blah, blah. She scanned me, but she thought I knew that I had twins. So she was like, right, so baby one's absolutely fine. But as soon as she said that, she went and... Baby two, she looked at her and I was like, what do you mean? She was like, you know you've got twins, don't you? Well, I just, my sister nearly fell off a chair, bless her. I just couldn't believe it. I was in such shock. But one of the embryos was quite far behind the other one. It was quite small. She said, this is quite normal in twins. There's always one bigger than the other. She said, but maybe come back in like 3 weeks' time and then I'll let you know if you've got one or two. She said, but I want you to go away thinking that you've only got one.
Yeah.
She said, because
this other one might not make it.
It's so common, vanishing twin syndrome. It's such a common thing. No one talks about it, that it happens all the time. So, yeah, I went back 3 weeks later.
But do you think, so by the time your 12-week scan, you only had one baby, like one?
Yes. Yeah, one baby.
So people don't.
I think I was 8 weeks. I think I was 8 weeks when I lost the twin. Yeah.
Because I went for an early scan with Bodhi. And there were two sacs there.
Oh.
But I don't think that sac ever formed or anything else.
No, like, but it could have done.
Yeah.
It could have been early days.
But because you go to these early scans now, more, don't you?
Yeah. Well, because when is your first week? 12 weeks?
Yeah, 12 weeks.
First scan, 12 weeks. Yeah, so that happened. And then went back 3 weeks later and, there was only one. There were still two. They shared a placenta. That was identical because they shared a placenta. So I knew that. But then the other one had just, it was still there, but it was just sort of, and apparently bio-absorbed the other twin, which is quite nice in a way.
Yeah.
Because I feel like he's in him.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, I struggled for months and months and months, and it's so stupid, I know, because people say to me, you know, you should be grateful you've got one and blah,
no,
blah,
but I think
blah.
That you were told that there was another one there, so...
But it was almost like losing... Yeah, like miscarrying. It was miscarrying a child, and then I had to be happy that I had a good, healthy one. So I was so torn with emotion because I was so grateful I was pregnant, but at the same time I was so sad inside that I felt like it was my fault. I felt like, oh, was I going to Pilates too much, or was I doing this too much? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But then the doctor said to me, she was like, Chloe, it has absolutely nothing to do with you. It's just what happens. But I didn't get over that. Sometimes I still look at him and I think, oh.
Yeah, you could have been a twin. But that,
probably
I didn't know about
probably
the
wouldn't
vanishing.
Have survived with two. But
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Twins.
I know. But even now, even if I'm like walking down the street and I see twins in a pram, or like people must think I'm weird because I'm like, I stare over because I think, oh, it's so cute. That could have been Bo. But yeah.
But you've got Bo.
I've got
and
Bo.
And he's happy
and he's happy.
Healthy.
He's amazing.
So how was your birth with Bo? I like to talk about birth stories.
Yes.
Mum's the word.
Awful.
Really?
Awful.
Awful pregnancy.
No,
pregnancy,
amazing.
Good.
Pregnancy, amazing. I felt my best. My hair and my skin was amazing. I had so much
they
energy.
They do say that with boys, though. Boys make you glow. Girls,
I had
like,
so much energy.
I
have a bad stomach. I have got IBS. So when I fell pregnant, it took all my symptoms away. So I'd have like a morning sickness every morning without being pregnant before I fell pregnant with Bo. So yeah, I had so much energy. I can't explain it really, but my hair was great, my skin was great. I just had a very clear...
You glow?
Yeah, I had a very clear head. It was strange. But yeah, I loved being pregnant. Loved being pregnant. I mean, the last 2 months, maybe not so much because it was hot. But yeah, but birth, no. Horrendous.
Like what? What happened? Oh. Tell us your story.
Yeah, but I feel like everyone has a bad time in birth. Like, so I'm not going to like hold it on me. But
no, but I think that's why we're doing like podcasts like this, because we're talking about...
Yeah.
Birth stories and birth trauma.
Know.
Because I think we all think there's going to be a walk in the park, and then the pain, the everything is just so much.
Well, I just went in so open-minded, and I just thought hundreds and thousands and millions of women have done this in the world. It cannot be that bad. I really did think that. And the contractions, I didn't actually find that hard.
What did you find hard?
Oh, they were painful. Like, don't get me wrong, they were horrendous.
They were painful.
But I could do them again. It was the pushing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I pushed for two hours.
Really?
Yeah.
What, and then did he come after 2 hours?
So I had an epidural at 8 centimetres and it didn't work.
Yeah.
And I had back labour. So yeah. I was like, and then I wasn't allowed to get on my knees. So I was laying on my back, legs in stirrups. And then, I pushed for 2 hours. My mum and Danny was in with me, and my mum's actually like a really like strong lady. And she seen my sister give birth 3 times, and it got to the point where she sort of started to break down because she couldn't bear to see me in the state that I was in.
I do think it's horrible for our mums.
Yeah,
that,
of course.
Like,
I would never want to watch that. I mean,
you'd never want to watch your baby like be
I just
in pain.
Think, no.
Because you are her baby.
And there's nothing you can do.
No. You needed to go through that process to have a baby.
Yeah. So I think she broke down and then that made me worry because I thought, oh my God, my mum never gets us. Well, she does cry. I'm not saying she's like harsh. Yeah, I just thought, oh no, mum's sort of given up. Danny was crying because he couldn't believe the pain that I was in, I don't think. I think it's hard for men, I do. Like, not as hard as for us, not as hard as what
but
we have
to go through.
But
it's hard for them to watch it.
It's hard
because
to watch them
sort
go
of having
through.
An out of body experience.
Yeah. Yeah, it was awful. I absolutely roared when I was pushing.
Really?
Yeah. When people say they were silent, I'm like, sorry, what do you mean? It's quiet. You didn't say one thing. They're like, no. I'm like, oh my God. Yeah, I roared.
Really?
I sounded like I was coming out the zoo.
Yeah, but awful. I have now experienced my friend's births. So I was there at my best friend Kelsey's, and she was like mooing. Cause
that's what I was doing.
But I think that's how... You're meant to be. Like, but you feel...
Good, I hope so, because...
Did you feel embarrassed at the time? What was your,
oh my
like,
God,
actual...
not one bit.
No, you just,
didn't
like...
care.
Yeah.
Oh no, all your dignity absolutely goes out the window.
But you think
there's
back and you think, oh, not that Kelsey should be embarrassed about her mooing. Like, I was there for it and I was like, oh my God, this baby's coming. But you look back and think, oh my God, I was like full on mooing.
Yeah. No, I actually, she's really strange because it's not a big deal at all, but actually being naked at the beginning in front of Danny and my mum together was probably more weird than mooing and pushing Bar out, which was, do you know what I mean? Yeah. You don't stand naked in front of your partner and your mum at the same time, do you know what I mean? It was just a bit, so that was probably more for me at the beginning when I was going through the contractions. I actually thought it in my head, I thought this is really strange.
This is really
naked.
Weird, but I am giving birth, so I'm here for it and I've got to do it.
But then when the contractions came and I was starting to push, oh my days.
Because it is like different stages and I don't think you're ready for them stages.
No.
Because, it hits you, doesn't it? Yeah. That pushing stage, you just think, whoa.
No. Well, where I'd had the epidural, but it didn't work, I had a bit
of... So why didn't that work?
Well, I never actually asked them, if I'm honest, but...
You're like, why didn't that work for me?
I think it doesn't on some people. And I was just... I think I was just too far gone. I think it had gone too far. And I remember having, 10 minutes of... between the contractions... I was still having the contractions, but 10 minutes between contractions and the pushing, but they eased off a little bit. And I thought, oh, wow, this has worked a little bit. And then she went to me, we're going to push in a minute. And I was like, I don't even feel like I want to push.
Yeah.
That's the feeling
I had.
Because
it's sort of taken that feeling away.
It's taken that feeling away. But then, as soon as she went, right, this is the first push, I was like, I just never experienced anything like it. Now when I think I'm in pain, when I'm exercising or something, I just think about childbirth and then it gets me through.
Nothing is as bad as childbirth.
No, but I don't know. Yeah, I did go in, I went in thinking it was going to be bad, but I just...
Didn't think it was going to be that as bad.
No.
So you pushed for 2 hours, but
I
then
had
he
the
came,
thing where
he did
it
come
felt
naturally.
Like someone had lit a match underneath me, that's what I had.
Really?
I was on fire.
See, mine have been like rockets, so I've been quite lucky that
you were too close together though as well.
Yeah.
So that probably helped.
Probably.
Your body probably hadn't gone back fully.
I've got a prolapse, but they have rocketed out of me.
Yes, good though. Some people do.
But even that part, I remember getting to that, I've spoken about it before on here, that I got to the part where I know I needed to push and the midwife came in and was like, no, let's go and get you an epidural because you're not going to sustain this pain. And I was like, I need to push. And I was at the stage where I needed to push.
Oh, and then they
turned me over and they went, right, let's get you pushing.
As soon as he came out, the first thing I said was, I went, I am never, ever, ever doing that again. And my mum was like, it's fine, you haven't got to do it again.
And you sort of look at them, like, did you sort of resent Danny at the time being like, don't even come near me with that?
No, I don't know. Yeah, well, to be honest, it didn't even go through my head. I don't even know I got myself pregnant in the first place. That's how I felt. But, and I remember my midwife, she was the most loveliest lady. And her name was Emmy.
Yeah.
Emmy, I was at Whipps Cross Hospital. And I actually thought, if this is a girl, I'm going to call it Emmy because... She was so gentle and so, people come in and out of your room all day, don't they? That they stick their arms up you and do this and do that and open
your legs.
Not
their whole arm, can I just say? They don't stick their whole arm up you.
You know what I mean? They sort of go, this one lady come in and she was like awful. Hadn't met her all day. She hadn't been in my room once. She came in all matter of fact and sort of was bossing everyone about in the room, sat on my bed and sort of didn't even ask me and just put her hands in between my legs. And I remember looking at Danny and I was like that and he was just like, as if, don't say anything, just leave it, it's fine. Yeah, I just thought it was all a bit much. But then when this lady came in, she was so lovely, like just the loveliest person, couldn't have been kinder. And she delivered Beau.
Oh, if only you had a girl, Emmy, it could have been named after you.
I didn't actually like that name, but because I've been so traumatised, I thought, you know what? Or it's going to be a middle name.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was lovely. I think that makes a difference.
Yeah,
who's around you. Yeah, really did make a difference.
Hi all, it's TV's Gail Porter here. I am so excited to tell you that I am joining the Paranormal Activity family and will be hosting a number of live podcast recordings across the UK. The first is on the 6th of March at London's haunted Richmond Theatre. Expect terrifying tales, audience interaction, and hopefully a spirit or two. I can't wait for you to join me and to hear your own paranormal experiences. You can find tickets at www.paranormalpod.co.uk.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
So where did you, how did you come up with Beau? What made you pick Beau?
I've been called Clobo all my life.
Yeah.
And we lost my nan a couple of years before, and it wasn't actually one of my names. I always like unisex names, but it wasn't actually one of my names. And then Danny actually said it to me, and I thought, you know what? I actually quite like that. And my nan always called me Closey Bosey. And now we call Bo Bosey, which is really weird. So yeah, I could always hear my nan saying it, and it just, yeah, give me a bit of comfort. And he looked like a beau when he was born. He did.
Yeah. And
we had two names, and I named him both names for like 12 days.
Did you? What, you was calling them both?
Well, and I was whatever... just, I couldn't work out
what
which,
was the other
no,
name?
I can't tell you.
Oh, why? Because you might have saving it.
Well, if I say it on here, everyone's doing a no. Yeah, no, I just really liked it. I really liked the other one, but he just didn't look like that name. He looked like a beau. Yeah. He was such a beau.
And it is funny now with your kids, like when they get, like with mine, I think, oh my God, they are that name.
Yeah.
Like, but Bodie's name is Bodie Thomas Paris Parker. And yeah. Tom always wanted Paris. And I was like, I can't call him Paris. But now I think.
Oh, he wanted it as first name.
Yeah. But now I think he could have actually been a Paris, but he does suit Bodie.
Yeah.
And then we shorten it to Beau.
Yeah.
So we've got the Beau. The Beau boys.
The Beau boys. The best boys.
Yeah, the best boys. So, birth, Towie. Labour.
It's a lot. It's a lot.
Beau. Now you.
Oh, gosh. Do we have to talk about me?
Yeah, it's all about you.
Oh, is it?
How do you find being a mum and doing Instagram and social media and creating content?
Hard work. I think I find it hard, which I've learnt to find out, that I am such a perfectionist that if something isn't perfect, then I'm not posting it. But since being a mum, I'm learning to be less of a perfectionist.
Yeah. Even when me and Chloe go out, and if we go and do anything, I'm like, Chloe, take a picture. I would literally be slapdash and be like, oh, I'll just stand there and take the picture. She's like, no, let me adjust the curtain. Let me do this. Oh, yeah. Kelsey, what content are you getting? Like, literally.
Yeah, I just like, yeah.
But
like,
then afterwards,
I
look back and I think, oh no, Chloe did get it right. Like, that did look bang on.
Yeah. But, or like, if I'm taking pictures of someone, I'll go and make sure their hair's on the right side, or like their collar is straightened up. Or I just, yeah, I am a perfectionist. Not so much anymore, because I think that has to go out the window a little bit when you have a baby, because otherwise...
You wouldn't get anything done.
You wouldn't get anything done and you drive yourself mad. So yeah, that I've learned about myself since being a mum, is to not be a perfectionist. But then I think it comes handy in certain things.
Yeah, of course it does.
In work and certain... elements of life, I think it's good to be that way. So no, I find it so hard. I find it
you're
so hard.
You're quite hard juggling.
Yeah, I just don't get. I mean, I think you're quite good at it, to be fair. And you've got two babies. Yeah, I don't know why I find it so hard. I just do.
But even you took a break over the weekend, didn't you?
It's got to the point now in life where I just think, obviously, I'm grateful for my followers and them people that have always supported me. I'm so grateful, really am, because I wouldn't be where I am if it wasn't for them. But at the same time, Bo's my life, and I want to make sure that I'm present for the times that I'm spending with him and doing with him without being behind a camera or being behind a phone to capture the moment, to save on my phone and never look at that picture ever again. Because, do you know what I mean?
I completely understand.
Yeah. So it's just got to the point where he's my priority. And I don't think social media is a massive issue. I think for some people, maybe it is, because people do rely on it for people to, you know, like if you post a picture and then everyone says, oh, you look great, or blah, blah, blah. What's the word?
Yeah, but the reassurance.
The reassurance of people thinking that you're, and these people that we are getting reassurance from are strangers.
Yeah.
You know?
I completely understand what you're saying. Like, some people want the reassurance of a stranger being like, oh, you look amazing today, you're doing great. And, you know, sometimes you do need that.
Yeah, like, of course.
In my journey, I sometimes feel like I need to post things for people to go, Kelch, you know what? You're doing a good job.
Yeah.
Like, I posted yesterday because I've had a couple of months where I've really, really been struggling.
Yeah.
And you sort of need people to go, you're doing amazing. Like, keep going.
You're
come
fine.
On,
you're
going to
be
great.
All right. You've
like,
got it.
I get that. But then I also get what you're saying is that sometimes you don't need the reassurance of people going, you're doing great.
Yeah.
Like, you know that you're doing
but
good.
But then I think the more sometimes that happens and they're telling you that you're doing great, you sort of question yourself a bit more and think, am I doing that great?
Yeah.
Are you, like, you question yourself more. And then, listen, I've had a terrible, terrible 2 years. Like, it's not as terrible as some people's, I know. But I've had a bad...
No, but I just think as well, like, your life is your life. Like, I know that you're saying that because of me.
It's
your
journey.
You're thinking, Kettles, like, my 2 years haven't been like yours. But you're Chloe. You're Chloe Lewis, and you're living a different life to me. So for you, 2 years have been really tough for you, and you've had a bad time.
Yeah.
And you've got emotional before to me about it.
Yeah.
But you're doing amazing, aren't
not
you?
Not today.
Not today. She's not getting emotional today. She's positive.
Not today. Yeah, I just think, I always thought, because my sister had children before I did, I was auntie first. So I always thought I was going to be a great mum. I had this, honestly, deep down in my heart, I thought, I'm going to be great at this. I'm going to be so good at it. And then when I had Bo, it was during COVID anyway, which obviously didn't help, but I was always a get up and go person. I always like to get up, get myself dressed, get myself ready and get out of the house. Whether that be pop to my friends or do it like popping into London to do work, or I was always on the go. And then when I had Bo, for me just to, maybe as well because I didn't have a 9-to-5 job beforehand.
Yeah.
I think sometimes when you've had the 9-to-5 job, it's nice to be at home. Do you know what I mean? Because that's all people ever wanted to do when they're at work. They're like, oh, I want to do is be at home and be on the sofa. But I think where I didn't have a 9-to-5 job, when I had Bo, I just struggled with it so badly. I found being a mum so hard. Getting up, getting out the house. Bo had reflux, so I had all that. I just found that really hard. I really did.
No, and I think you had your sister's kids and you were auntie, but I do think, like, even for me, my mum had my brothers, like, when I was younger. So I think I had the realisation of, oh, God, it is hard being a mum.
Yeah.
Like, I saw firsthand.
Yeah, I never really saw that, though.
But with being an auntie, you're giving them back. You're leaving the situation. Yeah. You're not with them 24-7.
Yes, like, of course.
Kids are hard work. Yeah. And it's constant.
Constant.
And like you're saying, you were used to being, getting up, sorting yourself out, going out.
Yeah,
but then
you've
not. You've got another human that you're going, what are you going to do today? We're dressing you. What are you going to wear?
Yeah.
And if you're a perfectionist, what's the perfect outfit that Bo's going to wear today?
Yeah.
And how good is he going to look? And,
yeah, it was
and
just,
how good are you looking?
Yeah, I just found it a lot. I really, really found it a lot. Then obviously decided to move to Dubai, which...
How long was you in Dubai for?
Year and a half.
But I'm so shocked now, knowing you, that you moved to Dubai because you love your family so much.
I know.
You are such a home bird.
I know.
But you went to Dubai.
Yeah. Well, it was for Danny's work. So it wasn't, obviously, we was going to give ourselves a better life.
Yeah.
That was the plan. But I think where I was a new mum and I was in a bad headspace with being a new mum, and then moving country and being away from the
your
people that
system,
I feel closest to. Yeah. I was so completely lost. And I was like getting up, like I made friends, like good friends, but like getting up and going to the beach every day with a 6-month-old baby, I know it sounds like
it sounds like the dream, but we've life. All been there. We've sat
when you're lonely and you're doing majority of it on your own. It was really tough. It
did
was
you feel
really
a little
tough.
Bit depressed or low? I don't want to say depressed. Did you feel low? When I just you were there?
It's I can't explain. It's a weird one. Danny was really supportive.
Because you're in a place where everything's amazing, everything's fantastic, but ultimately you're there. Danny's gone to work.
Yeah.
You've got Bo.
Yeah. And I'd lost myself that I didn't have much work happening out there because all my work's here in London. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Anything I do is here, events and bits and bobs. It's all here. So I wasn't working really. And then went through, because having a nanny out there is completely normal, went through so many nannies, but I just, because it was my first baby and they're yours, I couldn't find one that I liked.
You wanted him to have his nanny?
Yeah.
His actual nanny?
Yeah, yes, exactly. So it was just hard. It was just, the whole thing was hard. And listen, looking back now, sometimes I wish I'd gone with a little bit more of a positive head and been a bit more open-minded with it. I don't regret it, but I wish I'd looked at it differently.
But it's learning. You've learned about yourself now.
Yes.
So you had to go and be that person.
Oh, listen,
and do
if
what
I went now, it'd be a completely different.
Yeah.
It'd be completely different.
But life is learning, Chloe. That's it. We're here to learn. We've got life lessons.
Life lessons.
So you've come back from Dubai and you are co-parenting with Danny.
Yes.
How is that going? Is it
good? Yeah, it's fine. Yeah, it's hard. It's really hard because you don't ever see yourself not being with that person.
And again, I think that's like for you to deal with and you to get your mind around, because obviously when you do go and have a baby with someone, like you picture it being forever and you're going to have this family, but sometimes it doesn't work out. Look, for both of our reasons, it's worked out completely different.
But it's similar.
But you think, I just wanted that perfect relationship, that perfect family. Yeah. But what is perfect?
No, I know. I'm learning to learn that now. I need to learn that. Yeah, no, it is hard sometimes, but he's a fantastic dad. He's really, really good with Bo. Can't fault him in any way with that, in that sense. So yeah, it's just, we're amicable.
Are you two good at making like decisions together, joint decisions on parenting?
Yes, we are. That's always been a good thing of ours. It's never
a good quality.
A good quality. It's never been, or even like I would say something. A few of my friends have the problem where they'll say something as in they want something for that child and then they'll go, no, I don't think that's a good idea, blah, blah, blah. That's never, ever, ever been the case.
You both agree?
We've always both agreed. Or he'll give his opinion and I'll give mine and I'll go, yeah, okay. Or he'll say, yeah, okay. It's never been, even when we was naming him, it was never a big...
That's what I'm having this
name.
Yeah,
it was never, it was always quite easy. Yeah.
So you're both easy going when it comes to the parenting. That's really good.
Yeah.
Because especially you are having to co-parent, like, you both need to be on the same page.
Yeah, I'm quite a family girl anyway, so for me, more so now, I'm finding it easier. But I think Danny, he's always wanted to be a good dad. Do you know what I mean? He's always had that in him, and he absolutely idolises Bo.
How do you feel when Bo goes off with Danny, though? Do you feel like, yeah, I'm here for the break, or do you like, bye?
Mixed emotions. I have mixed emotions. Sometimes I'm like, oh, really love him with me today. And then other days...
You're like, I'm here for the break.
I need the break. I'll go Pilates or have a day out with one of my girlfriends.
Pilates queen. To look like Chloe Lewis, you just have to do Pilates
five times a week.
I've really
given up.
Oh, whatever.
I have.
The most unreal person. I always say to Chloe when I'm with her, why has she got the most prettiest face and the best body ever?
Kels.
She hates it. She hates any compliments, but honestly,
I'm going.
She has. She's got the best face ever.
You're the cutest. Thank you. Yeah, so it's good. It's fine. Listen, it's been a really, like I said, tough 2 years between us both, but nothing really happening. It was just differences of people and not growing together, growing apart, which is just, it was the saddest thing I've ever
but
been
you
through.
Have had obstacles as well with work and his work, so you've had that between you both.
It's tough, really tough. And then when you've both got this child that you both love immensely, and do you know what I mean, you're the only two people that have got the love for this child like you have. It's really tough. Don't wish it on anyone.
Yeah, but we're here, like that's what I'm saying, it is your journey and it can change.
And this is a stupid thing to say as well, but it's almost like, only because I know you grieve Tom,
yeah,
but you don't see him, do you know what I mean? So you're grieving him, but he's not there anymore. Whereas I'm grieving someone, but I have to see him every day. It's a weird situation. I can't explain it. So, yeah.
No, I know exactly what you mean. Like, I'm in a situation where Tom's not coming back. Like, he has died and there's no back from that.
No, but which I know is the most awful thing ever. I don't actually know how you do it, Kel.
But what you're saying is, what's the future for you and Danny? Because he is actually here.
Yeah.
And it's your grieving the relationship that...
You've just got to get on with it. You have to just get on with it and still see their face.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how you do it.
No, no. Well, I mean...
Because you do share a child together. And look, anyway, it's you and Danny.
Yeah.
What's going to be is going to be. And that is it. And that's what I just think in life. What's meant to be will be.
Yes, God, it's made me bloody stronger. I tell you that.
Yeah. But I think through life we do grow and we do get stronger. And like we were saying, you've been to Dubai, you've got stronger from that. You now reflect on that and you think, I'd be a different person if I went back now.
Yeah,
but you
had
to do that to grow. Yeah. You've had to go through this.
Yeah. What's Barry's four? I literally, them 4 years, I am a complete different person.
Yeah, so and it's been a roller coaster for you.
When I first fell, or even being in the Maldives that December, and I fell in the, me being in the Maldives that December to the person that I am now, my views and outlook on life and the things I used to worry about and care about and worrying about what people thought and them small, stupid things that I've learned now that are just so unimportant, and that your little bubble and your little team and family and all the rest of it is just what is most important in life.
And all of us are different as well.
Yeah.
Like, we all want the perfect family. Even in my upbringing, like, I've not had the perfect family.
No.
So I think that's how I could actually probably deal
with...
And that's why I feel like I've had an epiphany for you, that is it, because you were brought up by your mum and dad and they're so in love and they've been together how many years and, like, your sister and her partner, and then it's you feel...
Yeah, it's pressure.
The pressure.
Yeah, of course.
But your journey's different to theirs.
I know. I know my journey's different. I'd love to know it's going to take me, though, to you.
I'm interested to see, though. And it can be anywhere.
I think for me now, I don't think... Listen, obviously, I'm not going to shut doors, but I think my focus for me now is work.
Yeah.
Is just trying to push that, and obviously Bo, but to do that for Bo.
That was actually my question. What does the future look like for you and Bo now?
Yeah, I haven't got a perfect picture. Sounds so cliche, but everything that I do now is because I want Bo to have a nice life. Do you know what I mean? And, like, yeah, when he's 18, have money behind him that he can do stuff and, I don't know, all the things that I just...
You're out here trying to be the best mum.
Yeah, there's not a perfect picture.
No.
There's not a perfect picture. And some days I'm like, oh, just send me away to the sunshine somewhere and I'll never come back.
I definitely get moments like that. I look around and I think, I would love to just be able to just go, like what you're saying, that you used to wake up and just leave the house.
And just go somewhere.
Imagine waking up and not having to make breakfast, not even wake children up if they're not awake.
Nothing.
Not have to wake up during the night and then just get up and be like, I'm going to put some makeup on, do my hair, get dressed and leave the house.
Yeah. But this is why people look young when they haven't got children. Because they make you old. I know girls my age that I'm like... You look so young.
Look at us.
Yeah. Sometimes I'd love to just fly
away. But then your kids give you so much and they're so rewarding.
There's no love like it, is there?
There is no love. And then when they look back at you and they tell you, Mummy, I love you, or like my Bo, when he just sat there last night and went, Mum? I went, yeah. He went, I love you.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, oh.
Yeah, there's no feeling like it ever.
And then Aurelia being like, can I have just one last kiss and cuddle? I'm like, you've actually had four now before bed, but...
Yeah.
I'll kiss and cuddle you again. Yeah. Like,
there is just no feeling like it. But you don't really get that till they're like two-ish, do you?
Yeah.
I think that's why I struggled at the beginning. You don't get nothing back.
Don't get a lot back. And I think you're so obsessed with the routine and what they're doing and what stressing milestone about, they should be hitting.
Or stressing about that moment because they're not happy, and it just goes so fast that's a good one for new mums.
Yeah.
Don't stress about what's happening at the time because it passes so quickly, and then there is something new to stress about.
100%. Because even like I remember when you were obsessed with them sleeping.
Yeah.
How much sleep should they have? When should they be feeding?
Yeah.
But then they're 4 and they're waving you off to go to school and asking if they can ride the scooter today. Like,
and they're like, where's my baby gone?
Yeah. But I do feel like if I did have another child now, I would just be so much more relaxed.
Oh my God, so would I. I was talking about this to one of my friends the other day. She's just had a baby. I would enjoy it so much. There would be no pressure.
Everyone's listening like, yeah, you two wouldn't. It would be the sleep, back to the sleepless nights. No,
yeah, it would be, to be fair.
But I think you'd be over the sleep situation. I think you're so gutted when you first have a kid that your sleep's gone.
Sorry, for me that used to sleep till like 11 o'clock every day.
Yeah, and then...
I was the biggest sleep person.
Was you?
Oh, that's what killed me.
What do you sleep now? Like, what's your sleep like now? Do you go to bed quite late?
Well, I'll make you laugh. I go to bed with Beau.
Do you?
Yeah. I just feel it was so, like, sometimes emotionally drained of life sometimes. I just think, what is the point of me sitting up watching I'm a Celeb or when I can catch up on it on another day, when I can just go to bed and have a good night's sleep and feel better the next morning and get up and go Pilates and feel good in myself? That's how I look at it now. Listen, I'm not saying don't ever watch telly, but...
No, but it's the same sort of feeling as
my
me.
My days are busy and then
the
I get home.
The days are busy, but also for me, it's the that's the time when I start thinking and then my brain...
Overthinks. Sits on Instagram, so scrolling.
So I try and put myself to bed really early and try and switch off from everything. Yeah. And just watch a bit of like rubbish TV.
Yeah.
Like something that's
my favourite
like...
time. It is my favourite time.
Yeah.
I've thought about it the other day. I actually got in bed with Beau. Oh, he actually sleeps with me now, which is really bad, I know.
No, it's not really bad.
Is it not?
He's not going to be in bed with you when you're... When he's 14, is he?
Oh, I hope he's. Don't leave me.
Please, hug mummy.
I say to him all the time, I go, don't ever leave mummy. Oh. He goes, mum, I'm never going to leave you. And I think, oh, I'm going to record you saying that because you're going to leave me one day. But no, yeah, like you said, you get into bed, put the telly on, and that I lay there and I actually think, this is my favourite place to be.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
With your boys tacked up in bed and just... peaceful, watching telly or whatever you're doing, reading a book or whatever you do.
Whatever you do before bed. But yeah, I do. I like the comfort of having him in bed with me.
Yeah.
And I was never like that. I was like, no, my kid's going to sleep in their bed and blah, 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 blah. And I'm going to be that parent. But I'm like, when he gets in my bed, I'm like, oh.
I love it. We spoon.
Yeah. I think boys are such mummy lovers. My Bodie is such a mummy lover.
Oh,
it's
they
unreal.
Love their mums.
Ray rarely gets in bed with me. If she's having a nightmare, she'll... like come into the bed and be like, oh, I'm so scared.
Yeah.
But Bodie every night is like, without
I get mum tiggle my back and then I tiggle his back. And then the other night I fell asleep and I woke up and he was tiggling my face.
Oh, stop.
He was,
yeah,
going,
I
like,
get the,
he was going like this.
I get the stroke. He strokes me.
And I thought, oh my God, I love you so much.
Oh my God, we're their mums. We're mums of boys that just love their boys so much.
Oh, we've got the whole girlfriend things to come in years to come, Kels.
I'm going to try my best to be like a chilled out...
Yeah.
Mum.
As long as they're nice.
Of boys. Of boy.
Yeah.
Anyway, Chloe, it's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you.
I feel like we've resolved a lot.
Yes.
In this 45-minute chat.
Yeah.
But yeah, thank you so much
thank
for coming
you. Thank
on.
Thank you for having me.
Do you have a question you want me and my guest to answer? Get in touch by emailing... askmumsthewordpod@gmail.com or leave us a voicemail on WhatsApp. Our number is 07-599-927-537 or leave it as a review on Apple Podcasts. Make sure you hit the subscribe or follow button so you never miss an episode. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, then please leave us a review and a 5-star rating. It helps others find us. And talking of spreading the news, please tell another person about the podcast and help us reach more people. So I've been Kelsey Parker. You can find me on being_Kelsey on Instagram, where I'm just being me. We'll be back with another episode, same time, same place, next week. Thanks for listening.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.